Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our meditation today is from Ruth, chapter 1. The theme for today's message, the truth about Ruth. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. Help us this day to behold you, the truth, in your holy word, and live and love according to it. Amen. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Our fifth graders are here today. Praise be to God. Thank you, fifth or eighth graders, for singing today. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? It's a television show on TV with Jeff Foxworthy, I think. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Well, here's a question that find out how you might be smarter than a fifth grader. Are you ready? How do we Christians see our Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, in the book of Ruth? That's something we do as Christians, don't we? We hear the Word of God in the Old Testament, and we relate it to Christ Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The same Christ who was alive and at work in the Old Testament is at work in the New Testament in Christ Jesus. So how do we see the truth, Christ, in the Old Testament in Ruth? Well, the first way today is very obvious. The book of Ruth reveals the truth when it, in chapter 1, mentions the birthplace of the truth. We heard in the reading today that Ruth and Naomi returned to a little town called, fifth graders, eighth graders, everyone, Bethlehem. Very good, Bethlehem. And who was born in Bethlehem? Jesus. And other people said, rightly, King David, right? King David was born in Bethlehem. And therefore, this man, this David, is the king, and Christ Jesus is the king. They're both born in Bethlehem, the city of bread. We Christians, when we read the book of Ruth, we can rejoice. A little reminder of Christmas time, right there in the book of Ruth. Isn't that great? Sunday, we come to worship. We have a little reminder of Christmas. It's not Christmas, but we do remember Christmas here whenever we hear that town, that little town of Bethlehem. We remember especially that our God, our Lord and Savior, came down and took on real flesh and blood, to take on real flesh and blood, to die for our very real sins. And he did it all starting in Bethlehem. He did it in the city of David. He did it in the city where Ruth and Naomi dwelled. Praise be to God. The truth was born in Bethlehem. Second truth in the book of Ruth. Not only does Bethlehem remind us of the truth, Jesus, but there are people in this text that remind us, or actually relate to Jesus. Ruth is a relative of Jesus. Later on in the book, we learn that Ruth is the mother of Obed, who is the mother of Jesse, who is the mother of, fifth graders, eighth graders, everyone, David, that's right. And therefore, she is the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus, 40 generations between David and Jesus. So Ruth is a relative of Jesus. Ruth is a relative, a grandmother of David, the king, and she's the great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of the King of Kings. But now, hear how some think that it is a goof that Ruth is revealed and related to him who is the truth. Unlike all other people, most all other people in the Old Testament, all the people in Jesus' bloodline, Ruth was not from Israel. She was from Moab. She's a Moabite. Her parents were both Moabites. Moab was not the promised land. Neither is their people, the Moabites, the promised people who would usher in the Messiah, not the Moabites. Now, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, she is an Israelite. And Ruth's former husband who died, he was an Israelite. But not Ruth. And yet, she is David's grandmother. And therefore, she is the great-great-great-grandmother, 40 times, of Christ Jesus. Now, is this a goof? Did somebody make a mistake? Is this a great scandal in the Bible? Did someone think that by including Ruth in the canon that they were trying to mess up Jesus' bloodline? The answer is no. Does this mean that David and Jesus are not pure blood descendants of Abraham? Yes. Yes, exactly. But no one is trying to cover up this fact. God's word doesn't hide the truth. It reveals the truth. It reveals that Jesus' bloodline is not just swept under the rug. It's written down for everyone to see. Do you know what Martin Luther says about this, by the way? He says, God has always been accustomed to collect a church for himself among the heathen. Ruth, the Moabite, Luther notes, is numbered in the genealogy of Christ, not by accident or by exception, but because she is converted. She becomes an Israelite by faith because she received the word of God from God's people and she believed it. She may not be an Israelite by blood, but she is an Israelite by faith. Faith in the true word of God. By faith, she's a part of God's holy nation. By faith, she belongs to the promise given to Abraham. By faith, pure faith alone. And this is really good news for you and for me. Were any of you born in Israel? Probably not. I wasn't. I'm a Welshman with a tad of German in me. But I'm not related to Abraham by blood. I've never even been to Israel. The truth is that most of us are Gentiles by birth, not Israelites. And the good news is that God includes Gentiles like you and me in the people of Israel, which is not made up of those with the right blood type, but rather of those of the right faith type. Faith in the true Messiah who has come. Faith in him who by his own blood unites us as one people, one holy nation of God. We belong to God, not by our blood, but by his blood. Now the third truth. The third truth has to do with Naomi and Ruth. Their relationship. How do they relate to Christ Jesus? Well, first here we note that Naomi and Ruth are not blood relatives. We already know that. Rather, they're mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. They're only related by marriage. After their husbands die, Naomi looks to their sorry condition, no husband, no one to provide for them, and she tells Ruth to go back to Moab, go back to your gods and your people. But what does Ruth do? Well, Ruth, in her tears, says no. She can't leave Naomi. And we heard those famous words in the text. I'll read them again. Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I go. And where you lodge, I lodge. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, if anything, but death parts me from you. This is a beautiful picture of faithfulness, isn't it? Giving up everything to follow another. What a model example this is in the Old Testament of how we should respond to the ministry of Christ Jesus. Naomi is a Christ-like figure in a way, too, here in the Old Testament. Both she and Jesus can't promise anything in the world that has the appearance of full glory. Do you really want to follow me? Is what she's asking. Naomi and Jesus can only offer the kind of kingdom that is not of this world. Do you really want to follow Christ Jesus? If not, then go back to your people and to your gods. But in this testing, Ruth shows how real her faith is. Her faith and love in the God of Israel. She shows how she trusts Naomi's God to be for her through believing and worshiping him within the household of those who are called to be his people. So the question for us today is, what about us? When we heard the call to follow by faith with no promise of worldly righteousness attached to it, do you follow through thick and thin, or do you flee? Do you go back with the crowds to your people and to those whom you trust, along with your self-appointed, self-made gods, your idols? Will we forsake all else and follow Christ Jesus, just like Ruth follows Naomi, wherever Jesus may go? Will we read and study God's word and his life and his ministry in our time, during our time here on earth, even if it leads to the cross? Will we let his people be our people? Will we belong to a confessing church? Will we worship and confess Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, and no other way? Will we be buried where Jesus is buried? Perhaps here a little reference to baptism. For in baptism we know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. It says so in Romans chapter 6. So just as Christ Jesus dies and rises again, so also will we who are buried with him rise again to live with him. And when we get sick on earth and get near death, or when we see that car crash coming or the plane coming at us, and we're just about ready to go home, will we die with Jesus? He already died our death. We've already been baptized into him. He already rose and was revealed, such that we, by believing, will rise with him into life everlasting. Nothing on God's part, not even death, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. May we all this day cling to the truth in the book of Ruth and follow Christ just as Ruth followed Naomi. The last truth for today from the book of Ruth has to do with Ruth's husband, Boaz. Boaz was Christ-like in two ways. First, he becomes Ruth's redeemer. That means he bought her out of slavery. That's what a redeemer does. All that she might dwell in his house in Bethlehem and be well supplied for the rest of her days, Ruth would no longer be a poor widow. Second, Boaz becomes Ruth's new husband. She will be well provided and loved. He marries her. She will not be alone. Life will be lived together with her Redeemer, her husband, Boaz. Now, there's two metaphors in the Scriptures that talk about our status, our condition before God. One of them is that we are enslaved to sin, enslaved or in bondage to sin and death. And so the metaphor that when Christ Jesus comes, he redeems us. He buys us back out of that sin, out of that death. That's what our God does. He's our Redeemer, as Isaiah says, our Redeemer. The other metaphor that's used in the Old Testament, another one of many, but that the whole nation of Israel, all of God's people, are a poor widow, a husbandless widow. And so Boaz comes and marries Ruth. So likewise, we understand when Christ Jesus comes and buys us out of death, buys us out of sin, he becomes our husband. We are loved. We are cared for. We will not be alone. Life will be lived together with our God, our King, our Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Ruth has Boaz as her husband. She is no longer alone. Christ Jesus is our husband. We are never alone. God will forever provide for his bride, the church, his Ruth, if you will. So these are the truths revealed in Ruth about the truth, Jesus Christ. You know, I asked at the beginning today, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Well, it really doesn't matter whether or not you're smarter than a fifth grader. Life is not some evolutionary competition, a fight for the fittest, where only the smartest and the strongest survive. Ruth and Naomi, they were not the strongest or the smartest, yet they survived. What mattered most was not how strong or how smart they were, but rather that they had a faithful God and they believed in God's word. What matters most for us is the same thing in life. Not that we are the smartest or the strongest. We could even be poor widows. But the truth is that we have a faithful God, and he gives his all-powerful word to us. Do you see the truth in the book of Ruth? He's there. Doesn't matter if you're in fifth grade or in 50th. He's there. Christ, the truth, in the book of Ruth. He's the truth for all time, for the world, for Ruth, for Naomi, for Boaz, for Israelites, for Welshmen. He's the truth for you and for me. Amen.